Okay, great. Our speaker today is Brandy, who's going to speak on, share her experience, strength, and hope on step 8, I believe. Go ahead, it's all yours.
Thank you, Sandy, for leading the meeting, and thank you, Lonnie, for asking me to speak. There's an echo. Does everyone hear the echo, or is it just me?
I think it's okay.
Okay. Okay, so... I just want to start with a set-aside prayer. God, please enable me to set aside everything I think I know, an open mind, an open heart, and a God experience. Help me see the truth about what it is you'd have me say. Amen. So step 8, made a list of all persons I had harmed and became willing to make complete amends to them all. And I remember when I first was reading the steps, and I just came to the step work. BBA was my first experience to fully go through the steps. I had been in Al-Anon like 5 years prior, and found a lot of help and tools in Al-Anon, but not recovery. I got stuck on their blueprint for progress for step 4. And honest to goodness, I really didn't have a good step 1, 2, and 3 experience, because it was like, you know, are you powerless over your codependence and your situation? I was like, yep. And is my life unmanageable? Yep. Check. And I checked off the box, right? Like, that was step 1. And step 2, do I believe that there's a power greater than myself that could restore me? Totally. Of course I do. Check. And so I didn't get the foundation that I needed to really have the power to go through step 4. And that's really what it boils down to. I didn't have a good step 1, step 2, step 3. You know, did I make my decisions to turn my will over to the care of and direction of God as I understood? Yeah, sure. Of course. I know God. I grew up with God. Yeah, of course I trust that. It wasn't real. Like, it was a layer of truth. It was my truth at the time, but I hadn't had this full experience that the BBA experience has given me to really have. That, you know, I believe we spend 11 weeks in step 1. And in that experience, I'm praying for God to show me my unmanageability. And boy, did God show me my unmanageability. And then I had more step 1 experiences just in case I didn't get there through my step 4 and step 5 while I was working the steps. So, you know, this way of working really spoke to me and helped me really have that step 1, 2, 3 experience. And I continue to have step 1, 2, 3 and experiences that unfolds another layer of healing for me, and another layer of trust in God, and another layer of releasing everything to God. It's a process, you know. This is a process, and it takes a lifetime, it says, you know, in the book. And so now I've come and I've finally gotten through 4, where I made this searching and fearless moral inventory. And then I, you know, admitted to God and myself and another human. So I give away all of those resentments, the anger, the fear, all that is part of that, and all the what's objectionable, which are the things that are keeping me from God that I saw at the moment, right? Like, it's all in what God is revealing to us. And I'm grateful. It was my second time through that was a deep dive. The first time through a workshop was very, very helpful and very eye-opening. However, it brought forth and brought to light a lot of things that I needed outside help with as well. And so, you know, I finished through that steps and I spent some time doing the outside help, which then prepped me to go through the much deeper dive I did the second time. And just the outside work, the inner child work, the psychological, all of that stuff was, they go hand in hand together for me. The big book and my 12-step work and my extra healing that I needed, because the book unfolds things for me in a new light that allows me to be willing to address it with help, right? So it was a really important process in my step recovery that happened. And so after we get through and entirely, and I say that because we're entirely willing to have God remove all these defects of character. When I went through the first time, I was entirely willing. So I thought, but I had another level of entirely willing this last time I went through, and maybe there'll be another level next time. I keep hearing, that this is an onion being unpeeled. And so then I humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings, which are all the things that are keeping me from God. And now we've made it to step eight, where we've made a list of all the persons that I have harmed and become willing to make a complete amends to them all. So here, so I remember being at step one, actually both times, and be like, I don't know about this making amends thing. I don't know about what harms I've caused, because I was still stuck in like victimhood for a really long time. And as much as I kept saying I wasn't a victim, my thinking was definitely a victim. And I didn't want to be a victim, but I couldn't get out of it until I sat and looked at all this stuff. And I looked at the roles that I assigned, and I did the whole column one, two, three, four. And then I start realizing how much of a victim my thinking and my actions were, and how much of that was driven by the fear of not wanting to be a victim, you know? So it's like a fear of being victimized and a fear of not being a victim. Like, they're both there. And so it was really healing to see all of that in a really detailed way that the Big Book Awakening shows us. That was such a deep-rooted thing, because it came with a whole bunch of patterns of behavior, a bunch of patterns of thinking, and it came with a lot of trauma. And so there was a lot to work out with that. And because so I was abused as a very young child, through most of my life, and in pretty much various ways, all forms, et cetera. And so it was interesting, because at one point in my healing, being a victim was a part of the acknowledgement that it happened. But then I kind of got stuck there, and my thinking and behaviors and patterns and my fear was driving the delusion. It was driving my thoughts. It was driving my actions. And so this way of looking at the program really helped me see that. And I remember early on in step eight, when I would look at step eight, way before I was there, not supposed to be looking at it, I kept thinking, no way. I didn't cause these people harm. I didn't cause any harm, you know? And I'm so grateful for working through the inventory the way we do, because each step we just get a little more power, and there's a little more understanding. And at step five, I start gaining more power. And then in step eight, I've at this point been relying on God for little things. And now God's starting to show me the harms, like the true harms. And some of them, like there, I did the opposites of the coin. Like, on some of them, I thought everything was my fault, and then others of them, I thought I didn't cause any harm, and I did. And so this is where praying with God, working with a step guide, was really helpful, because there were things that I thought I was responsible for, like someone's feelings or emotions and their reactions to something, that I wasn't responsible for, and that wasn't a harm. But then there were things that I did, said, and behaved where my intention was selfish, and it was a harm, and it w may have caused emotional harm, or maybe physical or stress or chaos or whatever the harm may have been. But it was really helpful to be at this point in step eight, because of how the program has worked me at this point. So I love this part, because it says, so we're on page 76, right after we finish step seven, and we have done our step seven prayer. Now I need more action, without which we find faith without works is dead. So for me, it's really great, because now we're finally at an action step. But it's also a dicey place to be if you're an action chaos creator codependent. Like, if you're like always doing, and that's me. People listen to me talk. I was the hummingbird on crack. Like, I was the doer. And that was my way of the disease manifesting. So I really had to stay in my circle and triangle while I was doing this, so that I was centered in God when I was doing step eight and nine. So it says, we have a list of all persons that I have harmed and to whom I am willing to make an amends. We made it when we took inventory. I subjected myself to drastic self-appraisal. So what I found interesting was, like, first of all, to whom I am willing. So I may have harms that I've made and I'm not quite willing yet. And it tells us later to pray for the willingness. And I love that we could do the plus and minuses on our cards when we make the cards, because there's power that I gain with each amends that I make in step nine. And so it's okay that I wasn't ready to make some of the really big amends. Like, that's okay. The power will come as I go and as I pray for willingness. And so I'm grateful that this was written in there. And then I subject myself to drastic self-appraisal. So here again, I have to be God-guided, because there's two sides of the coin. One, and I have to recognize, because I saw this in my fourth step and fifth step. One, I have one side of the coin that loves to take blame and judgment, overjudge and overcritical of myself. And then the other side of the coin loves to be the victim who takes, like, no responsibility for anything. So in this process of being with God and working with the step guide, especially being with God, I start asking God to right size me, to help me really see what's my side of the street and what's not. What am I not responsible for? And so that drastic self-appraisal comes with the understanding that I could do no better. I could do nothing differently based on the tools, the knowledge, the coping mechanisms, my upbringing, all the things that I had at the time. Oh. I could have done no different. So now I go out to my fellows and repair the damage done in the past.
Okay, good idea. I'll be right here.
So I go out. I go out and I repair the damage that I've done in the past. And so here I'm looking at my side of the street, and I'm here to clean up my side of the street and repair any of the harms that I have caused. I attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of my effort to live on self-will and run the show myself. And so a lot of times what I kept having to ask myself when I came to the harms, because when we were writing step four, my sponsor just said, just write it down. Just write it down. Whatever comes, just write it down. And then step eight, we'll go back and look. We'll go back and take it to prayer and meditation. We'll read the harms. We'll read the realization, because a lot of my harms came in the realization and in the harms column. And we'll take it to prayer and meditation and then see what comes, right? So don't judge it when you write it down. Just write it all down. And I'm grateful for that, because I got to see where I wanted to take responsibility for things that were not mine, where I had old programs that it was all my fault kind of thing. But then I also got to see where I did some things that on the outside looked good. They looked like the right thing to do, like service or be there for someone when someone died or whatever it was. But when I sat with it, I did it out of a selfish motivation. I did it out of intentions that if I go to this funeral and I'm there with you, or if I'm there when you need XYZ, then you'll love me. Then you'll be there for me. Then you'll do something that I want. And in some cases, especially in my former marriage, I showed up a lot as what a wife was supposed to show up like, not because I wanted to be a good wife, good wife is kind of why it was, but like, not because it came from my heart that I want to be there and do this thing for you. It all came out of, almost all of it, out of a selfish motivation and a dishonesty with myself about my needs not being fulfilled. And so I got to see a lot of that in the realization and the harm. And then I got to sit with God and say, like, did this cause this person harm by me being dishonest? So the first time through my work, I had a boyfriend at the time. We'd been dating for 2.5 years. And in my inventory, I realized that I was dishonest with myself and had convinced myself that it would be okay to go further in a relationship with him, even though he didn't want a child or expressed any desires to get married, and that I would be okay. And I like totally explained it away with like, I have one child, it's okay. And all of it came out of the fear of being alone. Like the fear of being alone, not being whole, not complete without someone. And I had done harm unknowingly. I had done harm because I continued a relationship with someone under the guise, and we'd had conversations and I had kept saying, oh, it's okay, you know. And then I realized, no, the honest truth with me was that I want a child and I want a partner that wants to be fully committed, but be it marriage or a spiritual contract or whatever, but I don't want this half in, half out situation. And I owed an amends. I owed an amends for that. I was dishonest with myself and thus dishonest with him, which then set up a lot of time and energy into a relationship that's not going to last. And set up a scenario where we just towards the end, you know, became very like no one was happy, right? Because no one was getting what they needed. Thank you, Sandy. So going through and looking at my realizations and my harms really helped me see what kind of amends to make and to be with God on that amends and then that process. So now, we attempt. So really, I mean, one thing that's really key here that I found very helpful was that this concept of my motivations and my intentions, that they accumulated, that these things that I'm trying to sweep away the debris, and the debris is keeping me from God. Like, that's the thing I have to always keep in mind. This, why do I want to go to these measures any length, right? Because it's keeping me from God. And so, you know, it's my effort to live on my own self-will and run the show myself. And that's really where I create a harm. Even when I'm doing something that on the outside looks like service or looks like I'm doing someone a favor, if I'm doing it out of self-will and out of me trying to run the show, trying to control and manipulate, I use plenty of good things to try to control and manipulate, then it's a harm. And I just have to see it, what kind of harm or who I've harmed while doing it. If I haven't the will to do this, I ask until it comes. So I love this part because there were some really challenging ones that I needed more things to unfold inside me and outside of me before I could really be willing to make those amends. And like the take home to this, like my biological father is sitting in federal prison. And it was really interesting. I had been praying for 2 years throughout this whole program when I started it for a forgiving heart to my mother and my biological father. And it finally came. It finally came. And it was really weird because when he abused me, I was 4.5 months to 3 years old, and then he was out of my life. And the thing that was interesting was like, when I got to the second page of the columns, there was nothing there. Little girl, right? But why did God keep putting him on my harms list? It was really interesting. Every time I prayed and I kept telling my stepdad, I don't understand. I don't know what I did to this man. In the end, through this process of making amends with other people, through the process of what God had for me in the realization, it was actually forgiveness. It was forgiveness of myself and forgiveness of him for what he had done. It was a realization that he was very, very sick. And sadly, he could not have done any better. And it came to me one day that I needed to make an amends, and I had no idea what else to make an amends for. I've not searched for this man my entire life. And in 30 minutes, I found him. And, God just kept opening doors for me to follow the process. So I did. I got a P.O. box. I followed the federal prison process. I sent the emails. I gave the information. And in the end, I was 100% ready. Like, God had actually put me, for some other reason, 2 hours away from his prison. Tickets were bought. I was planted. And I like had this vision of me renting a car, driving from that airport, and just going and sitting in front of this man and having nothing to say. And in that process, God unfolded in that willingness a forgiveness that I had no idea existed. And it was a forgiveness I desperately wanted to have, because it was only me that was being held in bondage by this. And the moment that I said, I'll go, I'll do what you like, the federal prison blocked it. And it came and went. And the trip came and went. And since then, my heart is totally different. I can talk about it in a very different way. God set me free in the process of what came up in my arms. And it was one of the greatest things I was holding on to. And right now, as I'm speaking, I guess what I'm realizing is it was a harm to myself. I never realized it. Like, this is literally something that just came out now. Like, it was a harm I was doing to myself, holding on to the trauma, the experience, the story, right? And it wasn't until God gave me forgiveness that I was able to release that. And that all came through this program, as well as some inner child work with Pastor Jose, if anyone knows him. He's also BBA, but it was very powerful work for me to do that in conjunction. But that was the work I did with him was a year prior. So it's in God's time, not mine. And I always have to remember that I'm always whole. I've always been whole, and I am whole. And this process helps me to see that. And step eight, it was just so great to get there. And step nine is even more power. And it reminds us here, and I'll just close with this, is to remember that it was agreed upon that I agreed at the beginning of this, I would go to any lengths for victory over chaos creating codependence, insert whatever it is that your symptoms are. And it was at that moment that I was willing to go to any measures, that God lifted that from me and healed that. And this program is really powerful, and I'm really grateful for it. Thank you for letting me listen, and or for listening, and I look forward to hearing your step eights.